supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Henge. The word is defined as a prehistoric monument consisting of a circle of stone or wooden uprights. Well, move over Stonehenge. Philadelphia will feature its own version come Friday. Joining me to make sense of this is Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, I'll meet you on Market Street.
Bring your circle of stones or wooden plinths or something, and we'll see what we can do. Well, you know, this idea of Stonehenge is something that has always captivated people's imagination, because how was it possible for ancient civilizations, ancient societies like Druids and others who lived in Western Europe to create what seemed to be very accurate astronomical calendars using gigantic stones placed out on the landscape?
So these were sundials that weighed tons.
These were tons for sure, but rather than being the kind of sundial that looked at the passage of time during the day, they actually kept track of the passage of time in the course of a year. Well, you know, it's possible to do that in an urban environment also, and without bringing your own stones or pieces of wood and needing a permit to do this. A number of cities are laid out in grid patterns, and if the grid pattern is oriented correctly, it gives you an opportunity to observe the rising position or the setting position of the sun on specific dates. The north-south streets of Philadelphia, i.e. Broad Street and Market Street, are not directly laid out according to astronomical east-west. We can get half and half occasionally, like the sun rising at the end of one street on one day, but setting at the end of a different street another day, simply because of this odd offset. So I chose to try to calculate this using Market Street as a main east-west street. Now, because we're off actual north-south east-west by about 9 degrees, here's what happens. We can see the sun as it rises, looking east down Market Street on February 28th at about 6:35 in the morning. However, sunset, looking down Market Street west, we can actually see the sun right at the end of the street this Friday at about 7:30 p.m. This is something, though, that almost everyone can do, no matter where they live. If you think you have an east-west street that might fit this pattern, you can figure this out for yourself to create your own fill-in-the-blank henge of where you live for any time during the course of the year.
So that's Friday sunset. And when the sun drops and the skies get nice and dark, what's available to be seen in the night sky?
So much great stuff. Let's start with constellations first. The spring constellations have now moved into prominence in the evening sky at about 10 p.m. If we start over on the western side of the sky, we can see the last of the winter constellations, Taurus, Orion, and Gemini, nice and bright over on the western side of the sky. If we come around to the south, we'll find that Leo, the constellation Leo the Lion, is in what I call the keystone position. That's about halfway up the sky at about 10 p.m. in the evening, halfway between east and west. You're looking south, you'll find Leo right there. The interesting thing is that as you look at this group of stars, it actually looks like the shape of a lion. A backwards question mark on the left side of this. You remember we're looking toward the south. And then to the right of that backwards question mark, we see a triangle of stars pointed to the east. That triangle marks the back end of the lion. The backwards question mark marks the head and the mane of the lion. Well, if you imagine between the head and the tail of the lion, there's the back. If you look directly above that, you'll see the Big Dipper. It's an easy way to find the Big Dipper.
Derek, we have a moment left, and frankly, what's the value of giving note to another planet being discovered?
We can throw this on the pile of newly discovered things. This is a situation in which we find a planet about 75% the size of Jupiter orbiting a star that's 46 times the size of Jupiter. That puts that star, though, in the class of what's called a brown dwarf. Very small, very cool, and the type of star that we at one time imagined might not have planets because it's so underdeveloped, if you will. This star is so cool that it's not fusing hydrogen, but is simply running off of the heat that comes from the collapse of the original material that pulled it into this brown dwarf star state. But now we have been able to identify a planet orbiting a brown dwarf star. Well, the significance is that it blows up the number of planets we might find in our galaxy because brown dwarf stars happen to be the most numerous type of stars there are, although brown dwarfs are not very easily visible because they are so cool they don't radiate very much energy, especially in the visible portion of the spectrum. We can only detect them using infrared telescopes that detect heat. So out there in the deepest portions of the galaxy, we find that there are innumerable brown dwarf stars, many of which could possibly have planets.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Fitz, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on NewsWorks Tonight.